Sorry, David, it's over. Rabbi Yossi Moore.
Right, good morning. Here we have a very common pitfall in halacha when it comes to this Friday preparing cholent. Some people have told me in passing of conversation that they have put the cholent, they set the cholent on the slow cooker, they make cholent in a slow cooker, and they set the cholent at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's well before Shabbos comes in. Shabbos comes in later, Shkia's nine-ish, whatever, and we bring the Shabbos a bit earlier. But it's still thinking that it's absolutely fine. But you should know, on a regular slow cooker, which goes on low, which you put it on low, my wife claims, if you have a lot of meat inside and it's a big amount, it can take up to 12 hours. If it's 10, 11, 12, whatever it is. Think about it. Mishabura's kula is that when it comes to Erev Tafshilin, it's enough that it's a third cooked. Make the cheshbon, the Chazon Ish says, make your cheshbon in time-wise. So if it takes 12, let's say 10 hours. If it takes, keep it 12, because the 12 is easier to divide. 12 hours, what's a third of 12? 4 hours. So you've really got to make sure this is taking the bidyevet, not bidyevet, but this is the case where you're taking a third cooked. You've got to make sure that it's already been on for many hours. Don't forget, it even takes a long time for it to get hot. It's not even clear if that's considered part of the cheshbon. But either way, to put on a slow cooker at 6 o'clock is a no-no. Now you may ask, every Friday afternoon you might have a kula. We know that you can, really strictly speaking, as long as you make sure there's some sort of blech, let's say, you know, you make a creative blech in a slow cooker, you take out the inside part and you cover it with silver foil, you should be okay. So why are you worse off over here? Why are you worse off this Friday? This Friday, you won't be able to get away with putting on the cholent at 6 o'clock because it's not a third cook. Well, I've got my blech. Every Friday seems to be okay. Now, let me get it right. Rebbe Falk always used to say for decades, make sure that everything's fully cooked when Shabbos comes in. Don't get into tzoros. You don't realize, you pick up the lid, you put the lid back on, you've been over Issa Bishul, because you're Mamaya Bishul. Had you left the lid off, it would have taken hours. Now that you put the lid on, you've been Mamaya. There's so many issues. Fine, very nice. But Meikadim, we know that you can really arrange a blech. Why is this week, your blech's not going to help you this week? Why? Because there's a fundamental tonight in Erev Tafshilin, that your starting point to be makel to cook is only after you've dealt with something called hoyel. Hoyel tells you that you're cooking in a way that if Orchim would come along, if visitors would come along to your house, they would be able to eat from what you're making now. Now, obviously, a third cook is not mishmak, but that's the kul of the mishabura. It's enough that things are third cooked. But you haven't got the heta if it's less than a third cooked. Because Orchim will not be able to have anything. It's a chiddush that we say that Orchim will have it even if it's not cooked. But certainly not if it's a third cooked. And therefore, it's not going to help your blech. Your blech deals with shehiyah. Very nice. But it doesn't deal with you cooking on Yom Tov. And therefore, it will not help your blech. You've got to make sure everything is a third cook. In fact, the Mishabura says, the reason why we make Ma'ariv early this Friday night, usually second night, is I would say most shuls wait till night. It's only a recent thing that some shuls do a bit early, and there's every year is a whole thing. How do you do it? What's the story? But really, we always usually wait on that. Why, when it comes to this week, this time, we're going to bring it in early? Do you know what's the mechayev? What's the reason why we do it? Mishabura says the reason why we do it early is because of Erev Tafshilin. Is to safeguard us, to make sure that what we're cooking before Shabbos, before the husbands go to shul, is that whatever we're cooking is going to be ready, or at least a third ready, before Shkia. Now, although you'll be Mekabel Shabbos, everyone asks this question, what are you gaining by bringing Shabbos early? You're going to shul and you're Mekabel Shabbos, you're saying Baruch Hu, you're saying Bo'ei V'Shalom, what are you gaining? By 5 minutes earlier, your wife put on the cholent. So she's still doing something from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but it doesn't stop the Orchim Svara. The fact is, Orchim can come afterwards, and the Orchim who are not Mekabel Shabbos early, right, although they are part of a town now that we cover Shabbos early, all this is nice raid. The end of the day, Mishabura says that's where it comes from, to bring Shabbos early this week. Although usually we wait for Shavuos, we usually wait till that. Why do we usually wait till that? To get some emails, you don't want to interfere with the first day, so why is it different this time? Because we want to get the mila of making sure that your food is at least a third cooked when the real Shabbos comes in, when the real Shkia comes in. That's a very choshev halacha. I have to share with you a very, very interesting shaila that we just picked up on. There's a person who does catering, and the person who does catering, he himself is not shomer mitzvahs, so he wouldn't make an eruv of himself. But his workers, he's got workers, right, the workers are non-Jewish workers. And if you think about what's going on over here, they want to come on Friday afternoon, they want to come in and make a function for the Shabbos. Friday night, Shabbos day, I think it could be Shabbos day. Friday night. It's a Friday night function, I'm not sure. And you've got, and he wants to send his non-Jewish workers to go inside Friday afternoon and do all the cooking. It takes 3 hours to prepare all the cooking, and the cooking is going to be for Shabbos. Now, this Friday is not a normal Friday. It's Yom Tov. Just hang on a second. So Bishul Akum, very good, you have to deal, we're dealt with. We're very good, we've got this Nair and a Nair. We've worked all out, we've got all the chumras over there. We're sorted with Bishul Akum. We can arrange the fire from before. But the actual cooking, putting all the food on the fire, what is going on over here? It's Yom Tov. We know that Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook for Shabbos if you made the Erev Tavshilin. So if the owner would make an Erev Tavshilin, then fine. You can say that if he made the Erev Tavshilin, he can send his non-Jewish workers to do all the cooking, because if he can do it, then he can send his non-Jewish people to do it. Why not? What should be the problem? But if he's in a position not to do Erev Tavshilin, he doesn't do Erev Tavshilin, then what is the solution? He's not doing the Erev Tavshilin. His workers are working for someone who's not doing Erev Tavshilin. What's his? No, well, the Mashkiach is allowed to be a Mashkiach. He can come inside and make sure everything's being done fine.
That's one of the things he's supposed to see.
Yeah, now, one of the things he picked up, what's the story of Erev Tavshilin? So you could say, maybe the Mashkiach should make Erev Tavshilin. The problem is for who? The workers are not working for the Mashkiach. He's not paying the invoices, right? What's this? So we're saying the Balabos is not in a position that he doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs. The person whose simcha it is should do Erev Tavshilin. Would that allow? That's an interesting one. He's paid for it. Now, it doesn't mean that he actually owns that food. He's paid for the service for the caterer to provide food. If, let's say, the last minute the caterer decided, actually, this food actually I'll keep and I'll give some other food, he's fully entitled to. It's a good answer. I'm not sure if it's going to be bang on, because the money doesn't represent actually that food. It's not even so clear. It's koinu before Shabbat, before Yom Tov.
It's in the hall. You book the hall. You book the hall. So he's basically booking it in your hall, which belongs to you.
It's a good shayla. It's not so clear. Even helps to make an Erev Tavshilin for him, because even if it's a year. No, Hoyle, you would say. Yeah, Hoyle, you say, even if it's extreme, you've got, let's say, 1,000 people you're cooking for, and you say, Hoyle, what are you going to think? That there's going to be 1,000 people coming on a boat, which are all Jewish, and they're going to come to your house, they're going to want, pung that day, they're going to want your food. The Maisa Hoyle is, we say Hoyle is a very powerful halacha to get rid of the deraisa. Listen, this is a very interesting shayla. I personally don't think there's a solution to this. I don't think it helps to make an Erev on behalf of the Yisrael, because if he's Eino Moida Be'erev, is Halach and Rambam, if a person's not Moida Be'erev, let's say Erev Chatzeres, you have an Erev Chatzeres and one person not bothered by Erevin, it won't help. You have to be Sefer Rishus, it won't help to be Mevatel Rishus. It's a very interesting noisa. Anyway, let's get back into the things of Shlomo Geyer Lemaisa.
If the Mashkiach gets the goy to taste some of the food, to eat some of the food.
Does it help?
So it's a bit like, on Shabbos.
That's a good answer.
If he himself has an R, then it's good.
That would help, but on a big scale, it's not so clear. On a big scale, you have to do a lot of tasting. It's not so clear. The Haram and the Keres, Shabnar is not happy with Haram and the Keres. It's a good answer. I still, by the way, I think it's okay, because all you're doing is asking a goy to do Melacha de Rabbonon. Because the Issa de Rabbonon is cooking without Erev Tavshilin. So if it's only Issa de Rabbonon but Mokka Mitzvah, I think it's anyway okay. That's just. But Agav, I think it's a problem because you can't make an Erev in this situation. But I think it's okay because it's a regular Issa de Rabbonon, because the goyim who are doing Melacha are not doing malacha deraisa. They're doing malacha derabbanon because they haven't done an erev tashin, which is the esa derabbanon.
Which hat should they go?
What's this?
Which hat should they go on?
Again?
Which hat should they get from the fees?
It's not so clear that it actually belongs to them. It's tricky. Okay, Avoisa, let's move on. We've got so much to get through. If it's mutter, why can't we give a heksha? Again, a heksha needs to make sure that there's no isurim going on. So if there's no isurim going on, then it should be okay. Cooking without erev tashin, that's what we're debating. We're working out whether it's osa. If it's osa, then no one's going to give a heksha to it. If it's mutter, then he can give a heksha. So we're saying the reason why it's okay is because it's, the issa is only issa derabbanon, and the issa derabbanon is taking place in Mokum Mitzvah. The you have your het of Shusushus now, Shatzin writes in the beginning of the Shabbos, trying to avoid the het of Shusushus, but we'll try to avoid it. We'll try many different avenues. It's not so clear we have a good Eta. If you can't, we've got Eta, go on. The valet boss should give 50 pence to own all the food. I'll tell you what, this strictness of owning it will only help if the valet boss or the bal simcha will actually pay the fees of the non-Jewish workers. That means all the invert, it's not going to help owning the food, because who's instructing the non-Jewish workers? Let's say it's your food, very nice, it's your food. Who's giving the instruction? It gets complicated. Okay, let's try once more, let's get cracking. We've got a lot to do. One of the jobs this week, besides for Erev Tavshilin, is very interesting. There's a mitzvah, the Gong says one of the hardest mitzvahs in Yom Tov is mitzvah of Simcha, Simcha's Yom Tov. This week, before Friday, there's a mitzvah of Simcha to make sure that the men, we have a bit of wine, we have a reverse of wine for mitzvah Simcha of Yom Tov. But for the ladies, what does it say you do for the ladies for mitzvah Simcha? It says you buy them begodim v'tachshitim. Shulchan Aruch says in Tosfos Chavtes, begodim v'tachshitim. A beged is a beged, a dress, a top, and a tachshitim is a tachshit, a ring, a necklace, bracelet. Now, what happens? By the way, it's interesting how the Bialocha puts it. The Bialocha says if a person can't manage to buy a beged, a person can't afford the beged, and he can't afford the tachshit, he can buy now a line. He can buy shoes. Now, when I go shopping shoes for the wife, it's not so clear. It's about 200 quid that's per shoe. So it's not so clear what's cheaper anymore. But it's so, anyway, that's not the Bialocha Patir. Begodim, and Tachshitim. Is it clear, by the way, now it comes to a situation where people have already got clothing from Pesach, they've already got a whole stock. There's never enough, but at least they think there's enough for Shavuot. The Shaila is, if she's not in a situation to get another top, if that exists, she's not for another dress, can you get away with the mitzvah of Simcha by buying flowers? So flowers, you can buy a nice arrangement of flowers. And the mitzvah of Simcha is Pashas and mitzvah deraisa. And you have a mitzvah deraisa of providing a Simcha. Now, if let's say you don't want to buy a dress or anything like that, does it help to buy flowers for Shavuos? People buy flowers for Shavuos, Mekam, the Indian of the Ramah, to have flowers. Are you Mekam, the mitzvah of Simcha? Rav Eliyahu Tain had name. Rav Eliyahu said, the Shulchan Aruch says, Begodim, Tachshitim, Bialocha throws in that line. And if you just buy randomly flowers, or you buy one of the magazines, who said, she might enjoy it, but who said that's considered the Simcha of Chazal? Now others want to be Mekel, the Shevet Halevi want to be Mekel, Shevet Halevi says that still, it's Negev to the Yom Tov, and therefore a person can be Mekel. Again, it's a Shaila of the Raisa, so if the opportunity arises to buy something, a Tachshit or a Beged, then Matav to Chapara and the Shita of Rav Eliyahu, that's a Pashas of Shulchan Aruch. Oh, but others are Mekel, so that's interesting, the Kudav Negev to Simcha. Obviously for the children, or even if you want to keep them on a strict diet off sugar, but when it comes to Yom Tov, Shteit Mefurish, Klois Vegoizim. Now, there's not much sugar in Klois Vegoizim, but it's the idea of making them enjoy what they're eating. Just by the way, I saw someone making a very nice dome for a very nice dessert. A beautiful dome dessert with this fondant. It's supposed to resemble Har Sinai with a bit of flour and a bit of a luach, a chocolate on the top of the luach, and they've etched in even the oisis, aleph base, and the name. You have to be careful of the issa of moichik when it comes to actually eating it and cutting it in half. If you eat it with your mouth, it's fine, because we say it's a shinai. But if you're not eating it with your mouth, you're cutting it in all different places, you're actually destroying the tzura, even to destroy the tzura of the shape of a dome. If it really looks like a Har Sinai, if you've done a good job of it, then it could be a shaila to cut into it, because you're destroying something which resembles something. If it's like a halba dome, it's just a shape, then it's fine. It's not really representing Har Sinai. But if you've done a good job of it, and you've done something, just yesterday I saw something which was very good. It really represents a Har Sinai with a beautiful, all the zachim behind it. That could be a shaila, that represents something. So then to cut it, it could be a shaila of moichik. Moichik is when you erase a ois. Every letter represents something, it tells you something. So they say the same thing applies to a picture. A 3D picture can also have that shaila, and then that you could be have that shaila as well. Just by the way, I forgot to mention about Eretz Hashini, one other thing. Some people, they're eating out the meals on Shabbos, or they don't end up cooking on Shabbos. I don't know, let's say even their Shabbos urn, it's full to the top, they don't have to top it up. They don't end up doing bishul. If you don't end up doing bishul, you have to know you do Eretz Tafshilin on Friday, on Thursday, but you don't make a brocha. You can't make a brocha because of the candle lighting, as Machlokes is Rosh and Rambam, whether you need to actually make an Erev Tafshilin for that. So the Kaf HaChaim says, make an Erev, but without a brocha. So if a person knows that he's not going to end up doing bishul, by the way, if you put the chicken soup on the flame, yeah, that's already considered doing a malocha, because bishul, we take on yesh bishul akha bishul. There is bishul after bishul, so that's also considered like bishul, and you'd also... What is?
Carry.
That itself won't be enough to be Mechayev Erev. Shah Malachas is not so clear that it would be enough. So really, it would have to be a bishul. And we throw it in because of the Shittas of Rambam. The Rosh held that you need to make it Erev Tashinu for that, so we throw it in. Okay, a very interesting one is that usually we say that when it comes to Hadlokas Ne'er Shabbos, what's the procedure for us, B'nai Ashkenaz? How do we do the lighting? We first light, and after we finish the lighting, we then make a brocha. Why do we do that? Because we're scared that if you make a brocha first, lahadim yesh of Shabbos, by saying that nusach brocha, you can be efshar shiv mekabel Shabbos, and she can't light. However, when it comes to Yom Tov, the Eisha Saprisha, the wife of the Prisha, which the son of the Prisha, is beautiful, in the Hakdama of the Tur Chilik in Yerideah, he goes through how his mother was all about. She used to do Tanesim, although she came from a very rich family, and she used to get up really, really early. She went to shul, she had the key of the shul, and she used to daven for many, many hours, and she used to do Chesed and learn Chumash Rashi. He's got a whole lot to say about his mother. And he says that my mother's actually one of the biggest poskim around. She knows all the halachos, all the ins and outs of the halachos benegetu, which megetu noshim, including this one benegetu hadlokas neris. And she said, ladies are doing a mistake when it comes to Yom Tov. They do the same as Shabbos. They light the candles. And after the candles, they make a brocha. What's the point? Why do you need to make a brocha after lighting candles? The whole reason why you make a brocha after lighting candles on Shabbos is because if you mekabel Shabbos, you can't light. But on Yom Tov, even if you mekabel Yom Tov, you can still pass the lights over, as long as you've got an existing flame. In fact, you'd have to make sure you strike the match before making the brocha. So you strike the match, make a brocha. It's not the Eishas Zapricha, and the Mishabura, funnily enough, Mishabura goes with it. The Mogan Avram argues with it. Mogan Avram says, Ein Chochma L'Noshim. Very nice, she has Chochma. Ein Chochma L'Noshim Ela B'Pelech. And Noshim are good at what they're good at, but not when they get to the Halacha. Mogan Avram says, that, no, he argues that L'Mesa Mishabura takes favor with the Eishas Zapricha, that there's a minor to make a brocha beforehand, just Agav. This whole idea of doing the wave and covering your eyes is only comes from the Ramah in Hilchas Shabbos, who says that, hey, you make your brocha afterwards, but where's your mevorech over l'asiyosan? We know you make a brocha, when you shake lulav, you make a brocha first, and then shake lulav. You blow shofar, you make a brocha first, and then blow shofar. So where's your over l'asiyosan if you're making a brocha afterwards? I know you're worried about Shabbos, so you make the brocha afterwards, but where's your over l'asiyosan? So the Ramah says, he comes up with the idea that after you light, you close your eyes, and then you say a tefillah or something, and then you take your hands away. In that way, you can show that only now I've benefited. So you can call that sort of, it's a bit cheating, but it's called sort of over l'asiyosan. The chap is that someone who follows the Mishabura when he gets Yom Tov. And he makes the bracha before that locker, kadin, kol mitzvah mitzvah, that you make a bracha beforehand. There's no need to do the waving. You can do the waving if you want, it's non-issa. But there's no Indian, if a person does have this minute to follow the Mishabura, which a lot of places do go with, you make a bracha beforehand, you don't need to do waving, you just make a bracha and light candles like any other mitzvah. There's no din, that's an interesting point to take into account. There's only one other thing which is very interesting. When to light candles this Thursday afternoon? Do you have to make sure to light before Shkia, a few minutes before Shkia, Tosfos Yom Tov, to make sure that you've avoided the Yom Tov, you're not even on the Yom Tov? Or can you light later when the husband comes home from after shul and Leil Shavuos? You can light later before the meal. Again, the Eshasa preacher, the son of the preacher, says, now my mother picked up on two mistakes. One mistake was the one that we just said, that they make a bracha after Hadlaka. Make a bracha beforehand. That was one thing, which the Mishabura followed. The other thing is, my mother said that there should be lighting before Yom Tov, because the Halacha tells you, firstly, it should be lighting, the light should be lit before Yom Tov, it's Mishum Kavod Yom Tov. And as well, any Halacha that you can get away with doing before Yom Tov, the Ramah says, yes, on Yom Tov, certain malachas you can do, you can light, you can cook. But if you can do that malacha beforehand, there's an inyan to do so. And therefore, she picked up on this point, and she said that you should be mechuyav to light the candles before Yom Tov. In fact, a lot of people have that minhag to light before Yom Tov. There's only one kasha. Are you ready for this kasha? Firstly, Tamimus on Shavuos, some places can say that the Loch Eretz Yisrael brings down, you've got a shadow of Tamimus. The places can say that's not it's not a serious issue. A serious issue of Tamimus is only regarding Kiddush. Yeah, the Shachiyona is not so clear, and therefore, really, you got something to weigh up over here. On one hand, you got Tamimus. On the other hand, you've got the Shaila of this Eishas Zaprisha to do it before Yom Tov. There is a Maila. You'll see Stodm Lekam and Lekam. You'll see one, a few Galerians will say that it should Dafka wait. A few Galerians will say Dafka before. The person that I've been in touch with, they're in favor of doing of lighting beforehand. It's the Maila of doing it before Yom Tov overrides. I have to tell you something. This is a Chab. You ready for a Chab? Are you ready for the Chab? Because you have to think about it. It's a very interesting one. Just to analyze what's going on over here. The Eishas Zaprisha, in my opinion, yeah, not in my opinion, because it's not Maskona, but it's a bit of a steer in a bit. Think about what's just happened. I've just fed you two halachas. Number one is, make a brocha before the hadlaka. Right? Make a brocha before, because if you make the brocha, you make a kabbal Yom Tov. And therefore, and we don't care in Yom Tov. Right? We still told you, right, that better to make the hadlokas nearest Yom Tov before Yom Tov to avoid the shayla of melocha. Do we not forget the first halacha that by making the brocha it's Yom Tov? So if by making the brocha it's Yom Tov, then for that price I can wait for Yom Tov. You don't start telling me that I have to do it before Yom Tov to avoid melocha, and you're still telling me to make the brocha before hadlokah. The Eishas Zaprisha says two halachas. One is make your bracha before, because I don't care if you make kabbal Yom Tov, you can still light. And yet she tells me, Shane is the second mistake, it's a small shtickle in Prisha. The second mistake is that they're lighting on Yom Tov, but you should really be lighting before Yom Tov if you can avoid malacha. But if you've told me to make a bracha before hadlokah, and you're not, because you told me that I don't care if you make kabbal Yom Tov, you can still do malacha, if you have the shayla, it's a cracking shtickle astira. I looked into this. The answer is that it's not lekuli alma that if you make a bracha you makabel yom tov. It's a chumrah. Really, meikadin by making a bracha you're not makabel Shabbos, you're not makabel yom tov. We do it because of chumras. So meikadin it could be you're not makabel yom tov, and therefore that's the maila still to do before yom tov. That's a bit of a mouthful, but it's an interesting chat. There's two nekudos of the preacher. There's a shtickel akash and monoshach. What's the point doing it before yom tov? Anyway, makabel yom tov. The Torah says it's any mishum chumrah. Therefore, it's better to do both and still get the maila. Okay, let's get a few more practical things before. Okay. You'll see in a lot of Gilyonis, you'll see in a lot of halachas, people mention the halacha of ladies like to write a menu of what they're going to serve for certain meals. The day meal they're going to have this, the night meal they're going to have this, who they're inviting, and then they read it, a certain headspace that they have, menuchas and nefesh, they come down, they look on the fridge, look on the thingy, and they can see exactly who's coming, what they're serving, and what time it is, they can see it. Some place can pick up on a point, a very interesting point, which doesn't feel comfortable in a lot of people's minds, that what's the whole problem over here? That if a person is looking at a menu, there's a chashash of shemo yimchuk, maybe they'll get nervous, oh, I haven't actually got enough kugel for that, I'll cross that out and I'll put the things there. Shulchan Aruch actually speaks about this case, and Shulchan Aruch says, gezer shemo yimchuk. And you'll see various different limudei zchus out there, some quote of Eliashev than that. Rav Eliashev says that nowadays that we cook a lot more than they used to in those days, so there's less of a chashash. Lemudiz chus here and there, it's not so clear, it'll apply everywhere. By the way, I thought of a very good solution if you want to get around this, is to stick sellotape over the whole menu. So let's say the menu is a very small menu, and you stick sellotape over the whole menu. I've seen in the post game that could be okay. Because where there's a tircha to get to the area where you can write, that's okay. Similar to the Shulchan Aruch himself speaks about. When you've got chakak on ala kosel, I don't want to bring into it, it's quite a long case. Where there's a tircha to get involved and do it, then we say there's no gezer shem yimchuk. So if you arrange a tircha, either you laminate it, not everyone's got a lamination. So that I saw in the PR Pasuk of a Chokmah, he says lamination is good, laminating the menu will work. I was thinking, what's second best to laminating? If you haven't got laminates, then you have to have and go on. So you take sellotape and stick it all in the area where there's no chashash mimcha. That's a nice, just a nice, interesting way of getting around that. Mopping floors, we always mention it. Sometimes you want to, you have a cleaner that comes on Friday, and she comes and does the regular clean. She comes for an hour, she comes 2 hours, she does the regular clean. And including in that clean is to make sure that everything is, the floor's clean, so she does the sweeping, but can she also get on with the mopping? So we know that Rabbi Falk is busy with this, and the Aruch HaShabbos, they both say that mopping floors is a separate issa, is a separate issa of Chazal. That even if you were to take cold water, and even if you were to take an Israeli sponge stick where there's no skeet involved, I feel like a Yid wouldn't be able to do that. So if a Yid can't do that, he won't be able to allow the non-Jewish cleaner to do that. That's also, that could be a Shaila. So a sponge stick, even if you have a sponge stick, which is no skeet involved, there's a separate issa to wash floors, even with cold water, because you might come to the Ashur Gum. So, on Shabbos, you have to find out about that. But it's not so clear. I want to end off with one thing about
the Falcon. It's easier for her. You just tell her to clean the floor, and she decides to use a mop. I think that's a lot, because it's easier for her.
Yeah, that swar of easier for her is if you've told her to do something one way, let's say to wash dishes, and it's okay for her, it's easier for her to turn on the hot water, so fine, you can say that. But over here, there's no easy way that is a way of a Yid to do it. That means with washing dishes, a Yid can do it with cold water, so you can let her go do it with hot water because it's easier for them. But because there's a way of a Yid to do it. But here, there's no way of a Yid to get the same, not even the same, even there's no way of a Yid to wash the floor. That's an interesting chap that they point out. Like every topic, some poskim are making, some are machmir. You'll see the mainstream poskim on this shayla will be machmir, the Aruch HaShabbos, and the Rebbe Falk, the big players. What, two of the big players on the Aruch HaShabbos, they want to take him as a bit of a shayla. Just Rebbe Falk always used to say before Yom Tov, we know that tea, making a tea on Shabbos, most people avoid it, at least in the UK. We avoid using tea bags on Shabbos because the Chashash Bishul, even if it's a klishlishi, we're worried about Chala Bishul, but Yoyis inside, therefore we avoid it. Yom Tov, everyone knows, we can add my tea. He used to point out, just be careful, a lot of tea bags come in pairs, and you're very tempted to, typically you take out a pair of tea bags and you tear it. Hang on a second, since when is Kareah Mutar on Yom Tov? Kareah is not one of the halachas which are Mutar on Yom Tov. You'd have to put both of them in, and make a half, put double the amount and take half of it, you have to work out that way. And the other thing is, Schita, you're very tempted to squeeze the corner, that's part of the geshmak of the coffee, you spend most of the time squeezing it, and then afterwards you drink it. So the squeezing is not something which is mutar on Yom Tov. Again, schita is not something which is mutar. The other things are okay. Boyeri can get around, the bishul can get around, but that korea, the issa korea, the issa schita, that's something that you don't find. You can twirl, you can spin, you can take a spoon and you can spin it around, but to do the act of maisa schita to the side, squeezing the bag on the side of the cup, that's something that you don't find. Mutar, have a good one. Sure. Yeah, the same thing.